This passage from 1 John really took me back this week and had me reminiscing quite a bit. So I wanted to tell you a story, and I'm going to put on a costume while I do it. I use the word costume loosely. I used to say these words every Sunday morning when I was a young pastor. In my first church out of seminary in Eudora, Kansas, not a country church, but definitely a small town church in Eudora, Kansas. The church was St. Paul, United Church of Christ. It was of German heritage, we'll say. It was a much more liturgical church than what I grew up in. I grew up in a congregational church, very simple, non-liturgical. And so in a liturgical church, the minister gets dressed for Sunday morning, right? Puts on something like this. Anybody know what this is called? You call it a robe, maybe. Fancy bathrobe. No, it is now. I turned it off so you wouldn't hear that. You're welcome. In seminary, we would call this an alb. Alb, A-L-B. Just kind of a fancy word for a fancy dress for a fancy preacher. Okay? So it was part of the drama that is worship in a liturgical church, in a more liturgical church. Are you guys familiar? I mean, you guys have seen robes before, right? I mean, I wore a robe, I think, my first couple of Sundays here. Pretty soon, I stopped wearing a robe, and I'll tell you why in a minute. but the other thing that I would put on is this stole. And I don't really have an Easter stole. I don't know if I ever did. But they're liturgically colored. This is green. This is the season after Easter for Pentecost. It's also the season before Easter. And most of the seasons throughout the year are green. When our cloths are green, the minister would wear a green stole. This is a symbol and a reminder of my ordination. If you had a lay minister up here and an ordained minister up here, probably the lay minister would not have one of these. Okay, so this is a sign of the office of pastor and part of that role. I've always thought of it as a yoke. It's been a kind of a nice image for me. You know what a yoke is? It's the, you use it to control or direct an animal to make them of use. And so the pastor's stole is a reminder that we are yoked to the divine for guidance, you know, and that we are guided by God and what we do. And then there's this rope. It has a fancy name too. I think it's a tincture. I'm not sure. But it's basically a belt. Holds it all together. And what made me think of this was these words. I guess I'll just leave that where it is. From 1 John. Because every Sunday morning, I would stand in front of this small congregation, you know, about like this, and I would say, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins before God and one another, God, who is faithful and just, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness and restore us to everlasting life. And then you know what we would do? Yeah, thank you. I was looking to the other pastor in the room. Then we would say a prayer of confession. We would confess our sins. You guys don't do that here, do you? Not formally like that. I don't know if that's ever been a disciple's thing or not. But so basically, then what we would do is we would open our bulletins and we would read the prayer of confession that I had written earlier that week. And so I would put the words in people's mouths, basically. It's one of the reasons why I stopped doing it. I had trouble with that. Like every week I would write the confession of sin that everyone else would say. We confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Sins of commission, what we have done, and sins of omission, things that we have left undone. And I might put a line in there about injustice in the world and how we've turned our backs on our neighbors and how we have failed to speak up to defend the rights of others. Maybe I would put, so it's basically just kind of me sitting in my pastor's study, dreaming up all the ways that we sin, putting it into words that I might coax others to read, manipulate them, you might say, into reading and owning as their own sort of confession of sin. And then we might, you know, then this gets to be really high liturgy or medium liturgy, but you might sing a Kyrie, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. If you really want to have fun with it, you do it in Latin and you say Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison. So there's an invitation. I say, you know, if we say we have no sin, blah, 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 we confess the sins, we pray the Kyrie, we ask God's mercy, and then in my priestly role, representing the divine blessing of God, I would offer an assurance of pardon. And I usually would again, turn to scripture like today's passage in 1 John, that God has restored us to everlasting life. Or I always liked Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither height nor depth nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor principalities, nor anything else in all of creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's liturgy. That's drama in a way, going through the motions, reenacting a great play that stars God as the one who makes things new, restores us to wholeness, makes things right again. And every week we come for the drama, the reenactment. You know, I wonder how things are going to turn out this week. I wonder if things are going to be okay. And the answer is always yes. Everything's going to be okay. So I kind of stopped doing this formally like that when I started just not to feel, I had questions about why am I putting words in people's mouths when it comes to confessing their sins? Why not just have some time of silence for that? So I'd much rather have worship with a moment of silence. Maybe as we come to the communion table, or sometimes like we do here, we'll move around to various stations in the sanctuary. And you can do your own praying, right? That's me putting it back on you. Today's words really strike me, and this one phrase occurs over and over again, even in the few verses that Linda read earlier. If we say, if we say we have no sin, but then, you know, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, right? If we walk in the light while we have fellowship with darkness, we lie. If we do this, right? So it's if we, and it's usually say, if we say we have no sin, or if we say that we are righteous, if we say that we are Christian. Think of all the ways that we might say a thing like that. If we say we are a Christian nation, can we prepare for war? If we say God bless America, have we separated ourselves from the rest of the world? If we say we're a welcoming church, can we really do things that are not welcoming If we say we respect human rights in this country, all the things we say, think about that. Think about all the things we say. We have a constitution. We have a Bill of Rights. We have these things, and people lift these up as these hallmarks of greatness that make this country great, and they're right, they do. But what if they're just words? What if when the rubber hits the road, we're not as good at doing it as we say we are? So these words from John's letter kind of convict me today to not just be a church of words, but to be a people of power. To not just say we are a certain way, but to walk in the light, as he says. To walk in the light. I think that means living with the love and the compassion and the justice of Jesus, you know, sort of burning out from the inside out, just like this light, like the kids were admiring with me. If we walk in the light, then it's not so much what we say, but it's who we are, and it's how we act, and it's what we do. So my prayer today is that we are these people. And I thought about putting this on and thinking, you know, this was part of my history. This is how I used to do things. What does it look like today? You know, this is all actually very good, I think. It's good drama. It's good theater. to put on the alb, to be reminded of the white purity of the role, you know, that I'm trying to achieve and to represent for you guys. But knowing that this thing is full of blemishes and stains, it doesn't really cover up who I am. It doesn't do a good job of that. And I don't think it's supposed to. I think it's supposed to let me just be one of you with a special job to do. And that is to speak the word and to offer a piece of hope and a vision. So walking in the light might mean you can't just put on the white robe and now all of a sudden you're walking in the light. I have to walk in the light when I take this robe off, just like you guys do right now. So my prayer for our church is to be a church that walks in the light today and always. Thanks be to God.